Gospel of John, chapter 16. You know, I often wonder if that's not how the Holy Spirit feels sometimes. You know, as we journey through life and he's trying to speak to us and give us direction and instruction and insight, but so often we fail to listen. You know, we'll rely upon ourselves and our skills and our abilities. We'll go and we'll talk to 5, 10, a dozen other people to get their insight and their take and their thoughts as to what we ought to do or not do. We'll study things and we try and depend on our knowledge and our learning and what we can do. But we say in the midst of all this that we want to serve God and we want to honor him and we want to live, you know, in obedience to him. Yet so often, I think in our spiritual journeys, we fail to do the one thing that is the most important thing to do. That's that we don't stop long enough to listen and see what it is that the Holy Spirit has to say to us and how he would instruct us and guide us. So this morning, from John 16, I want us to look at one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that of guiding us according to God's truth. So in John chapter 16, Jesus is wrapping up, he's winding down his comments with the disciples. In John 17, he prays for the disciples and he prays for the world and he prays for future believers. But he's kind of finishing giving his closing comments here in chapter 16. And some of his last words include some final instructions about the Holy Spirit, who I have called through this series about the Holy Spirit, the neglected God, kind of the part of the Godhead that we can very often kind of minimize and neglect and not listen to as he tries to lead and direct us. But Jesus says to the disciples in John 16, verse 12, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." I want to point out this morning three things from this passage related to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the first we see right out of the gate is that the Holy Spirit guides us in our sanctification. Jesus told the disciples here, "I've got much more that I want to say to you, that I want to communicate to you, but you're not ready yet. It's not the time. You're not where you need to be. The circumstances aren't right. I've got more, but it's not the right time." And so he's telling them that there is more growth that needs to take place in their lives. That growth is what we call the process of sanctification. You see, there are two components that we often reference in regard to salvation. When we admit our sins, when we believe that Jesus died on the cross for us, and we place our faith and our trust in him, we're forgiven of our sins, we are made right with God. The word the Bible used to describe that is justification. We are justified. We are made right with God by believing and receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. Justification, kind of to give you an idea, if you have a bulletin or if you work on a word processing, a computer thing, when you read a book, when you read a newspaper, you notice that the margin on the side, everything starts at the same point. That's called left justified. It's all even on the left side of the page, but the right side ends at various places. Or you can right justify something. It's all equal on the right side of the page and jagged on the left side. Well, justification means that we are made right. We all have the same starting point in our faith journey, in our salvation before God. The starting point is faith in Jesus Christ, period. That is how we are justified, is through Jesus Christ. We all start at the same point, at the foot of the cross, in submission to Jesus and his death on the cross of Calvary. So that's the word justification. Well, there's another word that talks about the fact that even though we are saved and we start at the same point in our faith journey, we're all not at the same place in our spiritual maturity, right? We're not all fully like Jesus Christ in our life and in our actions and in our thoughts and our behaviors. We're not fully like Jesus Christ. That is a process of growing and maturing and becoming more and more like Jesus. The word for that continuing process is the word that we call sanctification. We are made more and more like Jesus each and every day of our lives as we surrender ourselves more completely to Him. And the Holy Spirit is the resource that God gives us to sanctify us, to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. And so since we have this resource of the Holy Spirit, Jesus told the disciples, I have more to say to you, but you're not ready yet. But when you are ready and when the time comes and when your heart is prepared and when the circumstances are right and when my purposes and plans come together, then I will teach you and you will get truth. You will get instruction as to what more you need to know, what more you need to learn, what more you need to do in order to become like me. Because you see, sanctification is three basic things: that we know Jesus more fully, that we serve Him more fully, and we become like Him in our lives. So we know, and we do, and we become. That's the process of sanctification, and the Holy Spirit of God is the one who guides us in this process. But you know, the key thing in this process, if we're going to be made more and more like Jesus Christ, the key thing is that we listen to the Holy Spirit of God, that we're sensitive and in tune to His speaking and to His leadership. Because here's what the Holy Spirit of God is going to do. He is going to reveal, He is going to show you things in your life that aren't like Jesus Christ, that aren't edifying, that do not bring glory to Him. And the Holy Spirit will reveal these things to you so that you can surrender those things, so you can die to your flesh and take up your cross daily, that Jesus said. You give those things over to Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can more fully receive and live in the power and the strength of Christ. But so often, I think our journey in the spiritual life is that we fail to listen and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to do the work of sanctification and showing us how we're not like Jesus. We get comfortable. We get complacent. What happens is what I call, and kind of use the analogy of olfactory acclimation. I don't know if you know what olfactory acclimation is. You're like, those are two big words. I don't know what that is. Olfactory relates to the sense of smell. This is our nose and our ability to smell different things. And the process of acclimation is when you grow comfortable with something. So olfactory acclimation is when you grow comfortable with smells. Do you know what this is like? Have you ever experienced where you smell something like, man, that is awful, and then you get comfortable, you get used to it to the point that you don't even realize there's a stink or there's a stench that is there? I don't know what it is about me and my life, but I have lived in some stinky places. And I don't mean that by the culture. I grew up not too far from a Jim Beam distillery in Boston, Kentucky. And they made Jim Beam liquor. And their process, they make what's called sour mash. And on a nice, warm day with the wind blowing just right, man, it stunk to high heaven. I still right now can just know the smell of my mind. And water was like, oh, man, it's awful. And so I left my hometown and went to Lewisport, the first church where I pastored. And there's a lot of industry, and they had a paper mill. And they would take the pulp, and they would take the wood, and they would process it with these chemicals. And again, on a nice, clear, wonderful day, the wind blowing just right, like, oh, man, the paper mill is in full swing today, you know. And everybody knew, hey, the guys who worked there would say, that's the smell of money right there. You know, that was their livelihood, and they were getting paid. That's the smell of money in the air. I was like, well, money stinks, all right? So, and then moving here on a good day, I don't know if people told me it's Honeywell maybe, or I don't know if it's Trash Mountain from over behind Walmart and Target or whatever, but, you know, we get some nice wind currents that come here as well. But here's the thing. In each of those places I've lived, I remember distinctly having people who would come and visit, and they'd be like, man, what is that? And the people who live there, me, our family, our neighbors, you know what our response would be? What? We got to where we didn't even pay attention to it. It didn't register with us. We got so accustomed to having the smell in the air. And you know what? in our spiritual lives, this can begin to happen as well. We can get complacent. We can get comfortable with sin and areas of disobedience in our lives. We can be dealing with anger and not feel like our anger is an issue at all. We can wrestle with selfishness or pride, and actually we don't even wrestle with it. We're comfortable with our selfishness and with our pride. We can have an unteachable spirit about us and not even realize that we're unteachable. We'll excuse it away as we're firm and we're strong and, you know, we're focused, we're driven to something. We excuse it. We call it a whole lot of things when it's being unteachable in our hearts and in our spirits. We can talk about other people and we can gossip and we can sow seeds of dissension and discord and disharmony in the body and tell ourselves that we're not doing anything wrong in that. We're just trying to fix the issues and the problems that we see that are there and are trying to chart a plan to do it. But we can grow comfortable with these areas of sin. And as we grow comfortable, when we allow these pockets and these areas of sin and disobedience to exist in our lives, then we come up short in being fully sanctified and being made more and more like Jesus Christ in our relationship and our walk with Him. But you see, the Holy Spirit's role in sanctification is to show us these things, to reveal to us areas of disobedience and where we're not fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can identify those things and die to them, so that we can have new life in Christ. We can overcome these things through His resurrection power. But here is the key fundamental issue with this, church, is I think that so often we don't make the time, or we don't take the time to slow down and to listen and to allow the Holy Spirit to search us and to evaluate and measure our lives against Scripture, against the truth of God's Word. We don't let Him evaluate. We don't slow down and listen. Therefore, we live and we tolerate these areas of sin and disobedience in our lives. But if we're going to be sanctified, and we're going to grow in our maturity, in our faith, in our dependence upon Christ, and we're going to honor Him more and more, if we're going to be more sanctified, we must give the Holy Spirit room and time and the resources to help mold us and shape us and transform us into the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit guides us in sanctification. Jesus told the disciples, I have more to say, but you're not ready. But He gave them and He gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us when the time is right and when our hearts are ready. So the Holy Spirit's first role in our lives in guiding us into truth is to sanctify us, to make us more like Jesus Christ. Secondly, His role is to guide us into truth. We have to rightly evaluate ourselves according to God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to do this so that we can make the appropriate changes that God wants us and is leading us to make in our lives. I was with a pastor here not too long ago, and we were talking about just a number of different ministry things, and we began to talk about fasting, just as pastors will fast, and how we do that, and what, you know, God has revealed in our lives, and how we're leading our churches in that. And so this pastor began to talk about an extended fast that he had taken. I don't remember if he was doing a 5 or a 7 day fast, but he said near the end of that time, he really felt like God telling him on a Friday he had off from his office stuff, that he needed to work on a home improvement project. He had been putting laminate floor down, and he really felt like the Holy Spirit led him to finish this project of putting the floor down in this room. And he told us, he said it was the most frustrating, aggravating day he said that maybe he has had in his entire lifetime. He said his equipment didn't work, and he said he kept measuring stuff wrong and making a wrong cut, and he said he was so mad he was ready to just, you know, snap pieces of laminate together. And it was just, he said, every irritating thing you can imagine went wrong that day. And on top of that, when you've been fasting, you know, 5, 6, you know, days, he said, I was hungry and I was irritable on top of it. And he said, I'm on my knees just with another mistake to take place, you know, just dirty, filthy, sweaty and stuff. And he said through clenched teeth, I kind of just half prayed, said, God, why are you having me replace this stinking floor today? And he said the Holy Spirit instantly said to him, because of your anger. And he said he stopped. It's like, my anger? Yeah, I'm mad because this isn't working. And he went through his whole list of why he was so frustrated that day. And the Holy Spirit was like, no, no, you're an angry person. And you've been telling yourself that it's a righteous anger, that you're angry about this and you're angry about this. But you're angry with your church people. You're angry with your family. You're angry. And he said God just worked him over with this anger in his life. He said he was so broken and distraught because God had revealed to him that he had anger in his heart, in his spirit, that he needed to deal with, that he had been overlooking, that he had been neglecting. And he shared with us that day he was so thankful for God opening his eyes to the truth. And church, that's what the Holy Spirit of God does for us. He guides us into the truth. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. And so I said, well, how does he do that? How does he show us what's right, what's wrong? How does he reveal these areas of our lives where we may have grown complacent? He does that in a couple of ways. First of all, the Holy Spirit uses the Bible to instruct us and show us what God would expect of us, show us areas of our lives where we're not living in surrender and obedience to him. And I said this a few weeks ago, and I want to just say it once again as we think about how will the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us into truth. He will use God's word. And so if there is an area, if there is a situation that you're experiencing where you feel like God may be leading you to something, or you may have something in your life that you may be reflecting upon, if it does not mesh with and come in line with God's word, with God's scripture, then it is not of God, because the Holy Spirit will never lead you to do something contrary to God's written word. If God has written it down in Scripture, it doesn't matter how you feel about it. It doesn't matter whether or not people think it's popular or unpopular. It doesn't matter how difficult or challenging it may be. If God has written it in His Word, we are to obey it, period. Because it is God's word and his instruction to us. So thinking about a couple of areas that I've seen some examples and see how we kind of rationalize these things away. I remember several years ago reading an article. Some of you may know the name of Amy Grant, was a contemporary Christian artist. I'm not sure where she's at now on all of the scale of stuff, but she went through a pretty high-profile divorce with her husband at that time named Gary Chapman. And I remember reading an article about this because she was getting a lot of backlash and just, you know, a lot of comments from people, pastors and church leaders around our nation. And somebody interviewed her for this in some magazine. And I very distinctly remember this article. Amy Grant told the reporter this related to her divorce and what the Bible teaches about divorce. She said, I know what the Bible teaches. I know what the Bible says. She says, but God has really given me a peace that this is what I need to do, and it's what's best for us in our marriage relationship right now, is to end it and go our separate ways. And I remember thinking, no, you haven't heard from God. God hasn't given you a peace about that, because God will not give you a peace to do something that is in direct contradiction to what he tells us to do or not do in his word. God's never going to do that, church. If it is written in his word, we are to obey it. You know, I think about individuals, you know, oftentimes we deal with, I just mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, gossip and talking about people. And it happens in the office, you know, and it happens, you know, in your neighborhoods, you know, with your neighbors and stuff like that. It happens within the church. But the Bible tells us if we have an issue with a person, we're to do what? Particularly if it's a brother or sister in Christ, in the body of believers. We're to do what? We're to go talk to that person, right? Not go talk to four other people about them. We're to go directly to that person and speak to them. But we don't do that. We don't practice that. And people will say, well, I'm just trying to get the facts straight. Well, look, if you're going to try and get the facts straight, go talk to the person that the issue is with. That's the best source for finding the facts, right? And people say, well, I'm just trying to get wise counsel on how to help. Well, if you're seeking wise counsel, pray to the Holy Spirit and go talk to that person and allow him to do the work in their heart and their spirit. And people say, well, I'm just asking them to pray for that person or to pray for the situation or to pray for me that God will give me wisdom. No, see, we tell ourselves all these things and we're lying to ourselves about what we're doing and how it is right and why we're not following Scripture and why that's right. If God tells us that we're to do something, we need to follow that plan, that methodology. No excuses. We're lying to ourselves, and we're just continuing to feed this issue, this sin of gossip in our lives. And so, church, we need to address and deal with these things. This is how the Holy Spirit leads us to truth. He says, you know what, you're doing this, and it's not right. Or the Holy Spirit will say, you're not doing this, and you should be doing this. This is how the Holy Spirit of God leads us to truth. He helps us rightly assess who we are, where we are, what we're doing, or what we're not doing. And truth isn't always fun. You know what we say about the truth sometimes when people say things that kind of hurt? We say the truth hurts. The Holy Spirit will lead us into these truths and into these right assessments that are sometimes not pleasant to deal with. You know, another area that the Holy Spirit often has to remind us of, and that I continue to kind of set before people, is that of giving of our tithes and of our offerings. The Bible is clear that as believers, we are to return a portion back to God, symbolically saying to Him, Lord, as I give this portion, all that I have comes from You in the first place, and so I give this back. And the Bible teaches that the baseline starting point of what we return back to God, giving through the local church, is a tenth. It is 10%. That's what the word tithe means, is a tenth. Now, 10% isn't the finish line. It should be the starting point in our faith journey and our walk with God. But see, so often we neglect that area of our lives. Well, it's not that big a deal, and we got other people, and they're doing this, and I got bills, and I got whatever. But we're not living in obedience to the clear teaching of Scripture. And so the Holy Spirit may convict us of this and may get us on a path and bring us back to where we are giving faithfully and regularly and consistently according to what Scripture teaches. Because you see, I bring these topics up and talking about divorce and talking about gossip and talking about giving, and people bristle. They go, ugh. That's what truth does sometimes. Truth bothers us, but truth should bother us if we're not living according to that truth. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit, is to guide us into truth so we can see and rightly assess and we can make changes. Not in our power, not in our strength, but through the leading and the prompting and the work of the Holy Spirit. That's His role. That's His responsibility. But I bring it back to the first part of sanctification. If we don't stop, if we don't get still, if we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, we won't see these things. We won't notice that there's the stench of sin and disobedience in our lives. We just continue on as is. And we're not growing and we're not maturing. Jesus says, I have more to tell you, but you're not ready yet. Because we're not preparing ourselves to hear and listen to the Holy Spirit. So the key factor in this is the Bible. That we've got to read and understand and know what the Bible teaches so we can measure ourselves against those things. That's why I so often encourage and challenge you to get into God's Word. You need to know what the Bible teaches so the Holy Spirit can use His Word to help you measure your life against what the Bible teaches. We're doing the Move Me Challenge this year, praying for a mighty movement of God. And the word movement starts with the letters Move Me. And so we've been challenging you to get into God's Word. And you know what I'm hearing from people who are reading the Bible and who are praying and who are trying to listen to the Holy Spirit? They're saying, wow, God's speaking to me through the Bible. People tell me all the time, I read something this week I'd never seen in the Bible before. Like, I know, happens to me every time I read through the Bible. I try to systematically about every year, year and a half, read Genesis through Revelation. I have a plan. I'm just reading chapter after chapter, just reading through, not studying, not digging in, parsing verbs and all that. I'm just reading God's Word, and every time I read through the Bible, I've got highlights and notes and circles and arrows and all kinds of things in my Bibles. Every time I read through it, God shows me something new. From passages and text and chapters that I've read numerous times before, I see something fresh and something new. And as I go back through, like I could look and I could show you right now several verses that are highlighted in here. And for many of these verses, when I read them, I remember instantly what point in my life, what situation, what context I was dealing with when God brought those verses to my attention. It was the answer that I needed. It was what I was seeking, and God brought that verse to my attention, and I saw it in a new light, saw it in a way I'd never seen it before because of where I was, as the Holy Spirit was guiding me into God's truth that I needed to hear at that moment in time. So in the month of March, we're reading through the book of Proverbs, and I want to encourage you, if you've not done this yet, to join in. Got 31 days in the month. We're doing a chapter a day. We're chapter 10 today of Proverbs. Join us through the end of this month, through Easter on March 31st. 21 days, I want to give you the challenge to join and read a chapter of Proverbs a day and just see if God will speak to you insight and wisdom and truth by the end of this month. So how do we know the Holy Spirit is speaking to us? The Holy Spirit uses the Bible to speak to us and show us what God would have us to know. God also uses people to speak to us. When you are in community, when you're in relationship with other believers in Bible fellowship classes, and you're studying God's Word, and you're talking about it, and you're discussing it, God teaches you through that process. You hear how other people are growing in their faith journey, and God encourages and motivates you in that as well. As you come and sit in the preaching and hear the teaching of God's Word each week, God can speak to you through that. And I know it amazes me as well that God would ever speak through anything I have to say, but it's awesome to hear how God does that week after week. It's awesome, but you know, on the other hand, it is absolutely terrifying sometimes, the things that you all hear that you think I said. I mean, it scares me to the people say, yeah, when you were preaching, you were talking about such and such and so, and I'm thinking, I didn't talk about that at all in my sermon this last week. I mean, it blows me away, the things that God speaks to people's hearts through the teaching and the regular preaching of His Word. And so God uses people to speak truth and to guide us into truth in our relationship with them. But I would say the people that you seek out godly people. Seek godly wisdom and counsel. Proverbs 11, you'll read tomorrow, says, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. So seek godly wisdom from godly people. You know, it always amazes me to see how believers will go and talk to unbelievers and solicit advice. Had an individual one time in a marital situation, and they were telling me, you know, what people were saying. I'm like, well, what people are you talking about? And they're like, well, people at work, you know, that kind of know what's going on at home. I'm like, well, tell me a little bit about their marital background. As they went through, somebody had been divorced three times, you know, one had been unfaithful to a spouse, you know, numerous indications or numerous situations in the past. And they went through all these just awful, you know, marital dysfunction situations. And I stopped him and said, no, wait a minute. You're seeking marital advice to honor Christ, and you're talking to these individuals, and they're giving you worldly, ungodly wisdom, and you're buying into that? I'm like, why would you do that? Why would you go to these individuals whose lives and marriages are not in any way reflecting and glorifying and honor Christ? Why would you go and seek wisdom from them on how to honor God in your marriage relationship? It doesn't make sense, but see, this is again how we fail to rely and listen to the Holy Spirit, and we take upon ourselves the challenge to figure things out through our channels and our ways. And ultimately, I think we go to the world because they tell us what we want to hear. They don't speak godly, biblical truth. And we need to hear truth. And you need to hear truth from godly people whom you trust and who you respect and who will speak the truth to you. So God uses the Bible, but God uses people to speak to us as well. So seek out, solicit that godly advice. The final thing that the Holy Spirit uses in teaching us and guiding us into the truth is our circumstances. You know, you've heard the phrase that experience is the best teacher. Have you learned some things from experience that you will never be convinced of to the contrary? I'm sure you have. There are lessons you've learned. You're like, I don't care what anybody says. I know this is what it's like. For me, I know that in the winter time, when it's snowy and it's rainy and it's cold around freezing, I know to slow down when you cross over bridges. You know why I know that? Because there's a sign. There's a sign that says bridges freeze before roadway. And that never really registered in my mind until I was a college student, and I'm driving down an interstate, and it's cold, and it's snowing, but, you know, they've got the salt on the road, and the road is wet. And then I hit this big three-lane bridge over an interstate, and I did about two donuts in about 1.3 seconds. And I stopped and thanked God, first of all, that I didn't hit a car, I didn't hit a guardrail, the edge of the bridge, anything, that I had finally stopped. I was facing the wrong direction, and I started the car, and I pulled over, and I pulled off to the side, and, you know, caught my breath, said a quick prayer of thanksgiving, and thought, I will never again not let off the gas when I'm crossing a bridge in cold, inclement weather. I learned a lesson from experience that day that I'll never, ever forget. And you know what I'm teaching my kids now, as, you know, they're beginning to ask questions about driving and stuff in winter months? I always remind them, guys, slow down when you cross over bridges when it's cold outside. You know, experience, our circumstances teach us a number of things. And actually, it's not that experience is the best teacher. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher in everything. So if you want to talk about experiences, it's fine to say the Holy Spirit through our experiences is the best teacher, because he truly is the best teacher. And here's the thing. This is what's so awesome about this gift of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us and he sanctifies us and makes us more like Jesus Christ through every situation and circumstance we encounter in life. From the gloriously good to the horrifically bad, God can use those things through the power of the Holy Spirit to teach us about himself, to make us more and more like Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, says, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. One translation sums up Paul's words in Philippians 4 and says, I've learned the secret of being content in all things. The wording of that's very, very important. The Apostle Paul says, I have learned the secret. You see, contentment in life doesn't just naturally happen. We're not just a normally, naturally content people. Contentment is part of the work of the Holy Spirit in our process of sanctification, growing to be more like Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I learned the secret of being content, whether it's having plenty or whether it's being in want, whether it's being in danger, whether it's being in safety. Paul says, in all circumstances, I've learned to be content. And do you know the secret to his contentment? He says it in the very next verse. You may not know Philippians 4:12, but I'm going to say most of you have heard at some point Philippians 4:13. You may have it on a bumper sticker or a plaque in your office or a note card or a bookmark somewhere. What's Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right. Think about that. Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content in all circumstances. What is the secret? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our circumstances, surrendered, submitted to the Holy Spirit, lead us into truth. The final thing that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, the work that Jesus speaks of, is that he brings glory to God. He glorifies God in our lives. So how do we know if the Holy Spirit's speaking? Well, does it mesh with God's word? And does what we feel led to do, this prompting, this leading in our spirit, this desire that we have to do something or to not do something, does it bring glory to God? Or is it in some way bringing glory, praise, recognition to us instead of to God? Jesus said to his disciples, John 16, verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. kind of think about the Holy Spirit glorifying Christ. I mean, I just, the thing in my mind is Jesus speaks about this, and we see in Jesus' own life is like a huge neon sign that the Holy Spirit is pointing us back to Jesus. When we face decisions, when we're struggling with issues, when we don't know what we should do, the Holy Spirit points us back to Jesus. He glorifies him by saying, remember what he said. Remember what he did, how he acted in the situation. He guides us into truth and he points us back to Jesus. And then you think about Jesus' life. And I wonder sometimes if we are not most like Christ when we deflect glory away from ourselves back to God himself. Because you think about it. Kind of the neon sign, the Holy Spirit points to Jesus. Well, Jesus said that he came not to glorify himself, but to glorify his Father. So Jesus is pointing us to God, not for his own glory, but for the glory of God. And so ultimately, God is the one who's glorified through Jesus' life and his ministry. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, so it's all pointing back to God. And since the Holy Spirit and Jesus are God in the Trinity, ultimately and finally, as we seek to follow the Holy Spirit who points us to Jesus, we find ourselves giving glory and honor to God. But this can be a tricky thing. How do we know? How do we know that what we're doing will bring glory to God? How do we know if this decision will bring glory and honor to him? I think one thing that you can do is you can continually evaluate your past. Look at your past actions and relationship with God. Think about how God has moved and worked in the past situations. Did you glorify him in this? The decision that you were facing, did it help you bring glory to God, or did it cause you to not glorify God? Think about a huge financial purchase, you know, acquiring debt. You know, we go into debt, and it's a natural part of our culture and our society. Well, I need to pick up this debt. Well, does picking up debt, does it allow you to be faithful in your giving of your tithes and your offerings? In your past, did it allow you to do that? Were you able to still be faithful in that? Or did it prevent you and keep you from being faithful in your tithes and in your offerings? Did you glorify God then? If not, then what are you changing that you can take on this debt and still glorify God in that way right now? Are you content with what you have? That's a huge part of this question in acquiring debt and thinking about things along these lines. Are you content with what you have? Or is this a want, a desire that you have that's moving you in this way? Think about areas that you serve in. You serve in the community. I hope you're serving in the community. Are you praying to God about why you're serving in these places? Why do you do what you do in the community? Did God lead you to those things, or did you just look at your calendar, feel like you had time, and so you did those things? Was it a Spirit-led decision so that you could build relationships with unbelievers and you could live out the gospel? Look at the past and say, well, how often have I done that? Am I doing that in these contexts and these situations? Or am I too afraid? Or are these things leading me away from godly purposes and godly influences in my life? See, we need to evaluate these things and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us in this process. You better be praying about things where you're serving in the church. Has God led you to serve in the places where you are serving now? Did you pray about it? And are you doing these things under the leadings and the promptings of his Holy Spirit? So how do we know if the Holy Spirit is speaking to us? Jesus said, I've got more to teach you, but you're not ready now. He wants to teach you more, but are you ready now? You're not ready for everything. So what's next? How will he teach you? How will he guide you? He's given you the Holy Spirit to teach you and guide you into truth and to guide you into things that will bring glory and honor to him. How will he do that? He will do that as you read your Bible, as you listen to him to speak through it. He will do that as you pray and spend time in relationship, speaking and listening to him. He will do that as you are in relationship with other believers and you ask them to pray for you and you listen to their godly advice and their input into your life. And then finally, most importantly, church, and this is just the resource that we have, and this is what I want you to take away from this sermon series. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If you're in Scripture, if you're in prayer, you're in relationship with other believers, He will speak to you. He will clarify. How do you know if your motives are pure? How do you know if your heart is right? You know, how do you know if this is of God? He will speak to you. He will guide you and affirm and confirm these things in your life. Listen to these verses of Scripture. I want to just close this morning by challenging you that if you will seek God through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through prayer, and in relationship with other believers, then you have every resource you need because you have the Holy Spirit living within you to teach you according to these words from Scripture. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, God says this, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." It says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you." Do you see that promise? God knows the plans, and we will come to Him, and we'll pray to Him. And He says, He will hear us. And He says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Our memory verse from Proverbs for the first 2 weeks of this month, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths." How do you know where to go? How do you know what to do? It's confusing. You got all this stuff. The Holy Spirit will guide you. You can trust Him. These are promises from His Word. Hebrews 4:12. How do you know if your motives are pure and your heart is right? Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit." So saying the word of God goes beyond the flesh and blood. It cuts to our heart and to our spirit, to our soul. It says of joints and marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If you're unsure, if you don't know if this is just you or if it's really God, if you will pray and you will seek God in His Word and through prayer and in relationship with other believers, God will clarify the intention, the thoughts of your heart. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will reveal to you if it's right and true and of Him or if it's selfishness, if it's your desire, if it's your motive that's coming through. You can trust Him in that. But you remember earlier, Eric and Jen up here, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling. But are we listening? Are we obeying? Are we becoming who He wants us to be? Let's pray.